do 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 do. Welcome to Idea Factory Giveaway, a guest guided mapping expedition to the borders of human creativity.
I'm John, and this is all my fault.
I'm Kelly. Some of this is probably my fault.
I mean, at this point, there's... I don't think it's escapable at this point.
Yeah. Really. No, used to not be my fault. Now it's kind of my fault.
That's true. It's true. Kelly, how have you been?
I've been great. I got a new job.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone gave me the chance to sell out, and I sold out, and it's great. And it's nice. People give me money now.
Incredible. So, yeah. When was this?
This was, I think I started like 3 weeks ago.
Incredible. So
it's new. Yeah. It's
where?
I'm like organizing a photo library at some big tech company, but it's one of the nice ones. They're not terrible. It's not Uber.
Oh.
So.
I can't wait to hear more about this off the air.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing.
Incredible.
How are you?
I'm good. What was I going to talk? Oh, I have this... I woke up with this weird thing where whenever I sneezed or coughed, I could feel it and kind of like the top of my right clavicle. And also, whenever I swallowed, like something... A weird band of something like very faint pain, but not actually... You know what I mean? Just a sensation of some kind.
Huh.
Which sort of... like sweep down the side of my neck and into the top of my body, essentially. I have since been informed by a friend of mine that it sounds like it might be that one of my ribs has been slightly misaligned somehow. Which is not...
Huh.
Apparently it's not life-threatening, and
yeah.
She will be happy to readjust it the next time she sees me.
Cool.
But yeah, and the funny thing is that it doesn't happen all the time, right? And if I've stretched in a certain way, or if I'm like, if I've applied heat, if I'm in the shower,
yeah.
It doesn't happen,
yeah.
Right? So like, it's clearly a thing. It's related to the position of my bones. And it's so, that's just a strange thing that I am contending with.
You're
right
saying
now.
You've come down with disorganized bones.
Just one. I've got a misbehaving rib.
You've just got a recalcitrant rib.
Yeah, I've got wandering rib syndrome. And as far as she could tell, diagnosing me over the phone,
yeah.
You know, as it were. So yeah, we're just gonna see what happens.
Well, that's weird as hell.
It is very strange.
Huh.
It is very strange. Perhaps we should introduce our guest.
I think we should do that.
Excellent. My fantastic friend Amy is here. A different Amy from the one that you have heard in previous episodes. Should we? Here's a new question, actually. Should we
yes.
start using people's last names?
I don't know. I feel like we go with the initial.
Ah.
Oh, just like being in kindergarten again.
Exactly.
My
yes.
excellent friend Amy L.
Yeah, there we are. It's mysterious also.
Amy, if you had to describe yourself and what you do to an audience of podcast listeners, what would you say?
I would say that I am a performance artist and writer. I do regular theater work with a group called the San Francisco Neo-Futurists who perform a non-illusory program called The Infinite Wrench every Friday and Saturday, 50 weekends out of the year.
Whoa.
It's an ongoing, ever-changing attempt to perform 30 plays in twice as many minutes. And it's just as chaotic as it sounds, and I love it. And on the side, I do some light video game theory and criticism purely for myself with a website called Gentle Gamers, which is intended to explore the lighter side of gaming.
That sounds
for folks
so
who
lovely.
Feel alienated. Yeah.
Aww.
You know. Jump scares aren't for everybody, and I'm here to represent that group.
That is lovely.
Aww.
Yeah, deeply gentle.
I feel like I know people that you should know.
Oh,
yeah.
I would love to talk to them. I could
yeah.
talk about... I'm the type of person that I have a couple of drinks at a party, and then I'm like, let me tell you about this walking simulator. And no one, literally no one else cares. So if I could find more of my people, that would be perfect.
No, I know someone who makes, like, stuffed toys based on indie games.
Yes!
And she's delightful, and y'all need to hang out.
I would love that.
Yes.
That
yeah.
is the gentlest thing
it's
I could possibly
so sweet.
Do.
It's,
yes.
It's really lovely.
Is this a person that I know?
Lin Wu. I don't know if you know her. I don't think
you know
her.
I don't think that I do.
Because I keep thinking you should know her. And I'm going to think of it. We should have Lin on the podcast.
Oh, that's...
delightful.
Excellent. All right. Notion
yeah.
saved.
Yeah.
Because I will encounter it later when editing.
Yeah.
Lynn W.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Right.
For those of you who are wondering what's going on, here's what it is. Over a decade, I've built up an unedited archive of ideas 800 strong and still growing, and now my friends get to dig through it to see if there's anything interesting, funny, potentially lucrative, or litigiously high risk in there. If you hear one and you agree it's good, take it and run. I just want credit.
I want a cut.
Amy, you have been afforded access to the vast spreadsheet.
I have.
What have you found for the delight of our listeners?
Oh, I have found some things. I'm going to kick it off with what I'm most curious about, which is Soup Witch, which is under the business category.
Yes.
And that's mostly why I picked it, not just because of the name, but because why is it in business? There's no other information besides Soup Witch in all caps.
I can tell you exactly what it is.
Please.
And it's actually something, funnily enough, I described it in some detail in a prior edition, in an issue of my newsletter that I sent out probably a month or so ago, actually.
Okay, so
before you were a subscriber.
Right.
Soup Witch is a restaurant.
Okay.
And it is, and its whole deal is that they just make soup. There's like somewhere between like 3 to 6 different kinds of soup available every
sure.
day. But the key is that the branding is very strong, and it's like it's the logo is like a smiling witch in a pointy hat with like a cauldron.
Uh-huh.
And well, so specifically, there is an artist by the name of the artist's name is Woon Young something. I think if you just look on woonyoung.tumblr, all his output is essentially two things. It's witches or dinosaurs. And it's dinosaurs competing in Olympic sports.
Yes.
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 You've probably seen them but his witch art is, it's like present day. It's like just like women hanging out wearing these amazing witch hats that are like, mm-hmm. they are very wide brimmed and extremely tall and pointy,
mm-hmm.
and they're translucent and they're different colors.
Okay.
So like there's ones in blue hats and red hats and like, you know, pastel orange, and it's just a very cool aesthetic.
Right. Yeah.
And I would like that to be the aesthetic of the restaurant. So all of the people who work at Soup Witch have to wear one of those hats. And
yeah.
I think that we could make them out of a breathable fabric so that they don't get hot.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, all employees of Soup Witch, I mean, and it's not limited, obviously, to, like, you know, women or only female-presenting people. Like, anybody can work
sure.
at Soup Witch. The only requirement is that you have to wear the hat.
Okay.
And
that seems to create a radius around, like, it's, for each of the individuals who are...
It's true.
It does.
The brim would need to be somewhat
like
taken in.
Well, yeah, I suppose, but it would be, like, a nice personal space protector.
That's
that
true.
Is true.
I feel like you would need to hire people of varying heights. Like, it's like the opposite of the Rockettes, you know? Like, with the Rockettes, you want everyone of more or less the same height for optimal kick visibility,
right,
I guess.
Right.
Or kick illusions, as it were.
Yeah, but that means the shorter witches are going to be taking out the taller witches' eyes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be like umbrellas on BART.
Oh.
Or like on the escalator coming out of BART when
uh-huh.
somebody has their umbrella open. Like,
exactly.
It's just, I'm always the short person who's like, you know, coming in at eye height. Tall dudes.
I feel like it's a finally an opportunity to put tall dudes in their place, though.
Yeah. You should have stopped growing weeks ago.
Weeks ago.
Yeah.
When their growth spurt happened
yeah.
last week. It was fascinating.
This is clearly recent. Shame on you.
The other thing about Soup Witch is that when you first set up the business, you send out a promotional magnet to every house in the city, basically.
Uh-huh.
And what it says is, hey, you sick? You know, let Soup Witch take care of you. Because that's
oh.
the thing. When you are
oh.
sick,
yes.
you want soup.
Yes.
But you can't make soup.
Correct.
And Soup Witch has got you covered.
And I would actually like someone who identifies as a witch to take care
yes.
of me during that period of time.
Yes. Oh my God,
because
I would love that because
yes.
I'd be like, you have studied your herbs.
Yes. Yes.
You understand the proper sage ratios that go
right?
into this.
Yeah.
You've communed with nature.
If you need to, you know, say some things over that, I'm fine with it, just as long as, you know, I get
yeah.
my...
A minor incantation.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, like, I'm fine with major incantations.
Oh, there's also
as long as I feel better.
There's a very good like Kiki's Delivery Service aspect to this too, in that of which delivery.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
That also solves the too many hats in the kitchen issue. It's just like people going out on deliveries.
I have this notion that it's primarily a delivery based restaurant. You know what I mean? But like they have a dining room, but it's not very big.
Right.
You know, like it seats maybe 10 people tops.
Right.
Their main business is just taking care of sick people.
Can they ride scooters that are tricked out to look like brooms?
Yes.
Good.
Wow.
I think I'd like that.
Oh my god.
Wait, where do you put the broom on the scooter?
I don't know. I haven't gotten that far, but like I'm sure we can find some birder who's built an art car who's
absolutely.
Oh, I know how to do that.
Who has 20 of them in there?
Yeah, no, let's broomify this.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. But yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's Soup Witch.
I'm on board.
Awesome.
Fuck yes.
Absolutely on board.
Huh. So, this is why the podcast exists. Now that the idea is out there, somebody please make it happen. I want to visit.
I'll just cough lightly. Soup Witch. Should we move on to the next?
Yes.
All right. So I chose also fan email auction site under business, which has a descriptor, auction off a number of slots, wherein if you win, the celebrity of the day has to read an email from you. Which, excuse me, because there's that, I forget what it's called. Maybe it's called Cameo. There's a website now with various, like, C and D list celebrities where you can pay them to, like, wish you a happy birthday or things like that. But there's something about, like, the eBay aspect of this that can get beyond, like, the former child celebrity aspect of Cameo.
So there's Cameo. There's also something, I think it's called Omaze, where, like, they will, like, a celebrity, like, they'll set up an event.
Right.
Where it's like, hey, have dinner with David Tennant. And you, in order to be eligible, you have to, like, it's basically a lottery, right? And you can buy as many tickets or things as you want. And, like, most of the proceeds go to some, whatever charity.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty cool, right? This is like that. We're sort of like, you know, like today, today Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be checking his fucking email. And, like, you know, like we've got, there's five slots up where, like, whoever gets these five, you know, like, whoever, with these five people get to write an email that you know he is going to read.
I also realized I willfully misinterpreted this as a celebrity has to read one of your emails.
Well, yeah. Oh, you mean like one of mine?
Just as a dramatic reading of one of your emails?
Yes, like my PG&E bill. You know?
Oh.
It's not nearly as exciting or useful, but there is... It serves no purpose besides slight novelty, so it probably doesn't have very long legs to stand on, but... I will say that there was something very exciting to me about just a random email, like, you know, whatever promotional email from my inbox, like one of the many spam messages. I would have loved to hear, but I guess I could just forward it to them. It would still count.
Yes. But whatever you choose to send them, they have to read. And, you know, maybe there's a checkbox next to it that's sort of like, Or you can pay a little bit extra, where it's sort of like, not only do they have to read your email, but they have to read it out loud, like on video, to prove that they read it. And then, you know, then you get your dramatic reading.
Right. Again, my willful misinterpretation of this. So literally, it was just, the knowledge that they have read your email was the initial thought. Not
yes.
that there's any performative aspect.
Correct.
Right. It's just you're sending an email to someone and you know whether or not they respond that they have read it.
Yes.
And they have had to process whatever hot garbage you decided to put into their brain space. That's... That actually, now that that's clearer to me, I like that a lot more for the mystery aspect of it. Just because, like... The knowledge that I just like Cumberbatch Benedict is what I was going to say. Benedict Cumberbatch, like just as a good example of just a person whose face always seems to be like he's processing some confusing bit of information. So there's something about him as a good example, but just to know, like to go about my day-to-day life and be like, he knows. Brings me great joy.
Right?
Yeah.
I would. I'm so deeply curious to see what, like, especially after it hit the site. So, like, right, every day it's a different celebrity,
right?
And it's a different, you know, I mean, and it's up to them, right? It has to be a minimum of 5 slots, but right. It could be, you know, like maybe they're like, fuck it, I'll read an email from 20 people, right?
Right.
But like, after about a year, I imagine you would get some kind of like a, you build up a corpus of data, where sort of like, you know, maybe like half the celebrities are women and half the celebrities are dudes, and like, and you come back to them afterwards as the company, and you're like, hey, how many of those 5 emails were just creepy bullshit, or like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And just sort of like, just try to get some idea, and then you could throw up a giant picture, sort of like, this is what people do when they're given email access to celebrities.
It's like a version of the Pornhub end of year survey,
yes,
where they say who's looking at what and why.
Well, exactly. Not even
the why, just like who's doing the data that they have.
Exactly.
Which, it feels like a Christmas present every year. Like, it's so fascinating.
I am only just finding out about this moment. I did not know about that.
They have a lot of data collection. Also, this is totally off topic, but I recently heard that I think it's Verizon that owns Tumblr now, and they're hoping to offload it. And you know who's interested in buying it? That's right, it's Pornhub.
Pornhub, yes.
Whoa.
There actually is a movement of sorts afoot on Tumblr now that they think Cards Against Humanity would actually be a better buyer.
Oh.
And I kind of agree.
Yes.
Because those dudes are like, yeah, right?
Right.
So,
and that's, they bring back the not safe for work component. I trust them.
As do I. Here's the thing that I wonder. Would there be a celebrity or two, or maybe a dozen, who would come to enjoy doing this?
Oh,
and who might come back repeatedly, you know? We're sort of like, hey, it's Keanu Reeves Day again. We're like, you know, he's just sort of like every, like the first Monday of every month is Keanu Day. Like, would that be something too? Like, I wonder if there is, I would love to find out which celebrities are down for this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And like, and just, you know, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like it's going to be like Danny DeVito.
Oh,
like,
dude.
I feel like he would be completely game for this.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
He just seems like the kind of person who'd wander into things and be like, sure, show me you're weird, you're wonderful, yearning to breathe free. Like,
this doesn't seem like it'd be that complicated to set up, right? It's basically an auction site.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe this is something you could even just run as like through eBay.
Right. I mean,
I feel like getting the contacts for the celebrities is going to be complicated.
That's the rough part.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the sort of thing where like the emails get forwarded to said celebrity from from the company sort of thing, where it's like,
right,
you email it to us and we'll forward it to him, and that way you don't actually get Benedict Cumberbatch's email address.
That would be for the best.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah.
Here's a Google form that only 5 people will have access to, and then we can just, you know, and we'll just yes. And I here's the thing, I don't want to put any content restrictions on it, right? We're sort of like, you just get to write your email and we're just going to forward it, and whatever you sent to that person, that's on you, motherfucker. You know,
do they
mean?
Have that person's contact information? Like, in the interest of preventing some sort of, like, I feel like there needs to be some collateral. If you have, perhaps not, though. I mean, maybe that's what money can buy, is the absence of needing that collateral. But
that's, I don't know, actually. I don't know.
I feel like you could venture into some dark territory there.
Yeah, honestly.
This does feel like something that would very... It feels like one of the... Like, you know how they always make chatbots like become very racist because humans are racist, and they put in information into the bot, and then it's like, oh, why did it become racist? Guess what? Because all of our languages. It feels like this is a similar sort of thing, except it's just humans.
Yes. It could turn sour very quickly. We might have to... Yeah, honestly. I think it would depend on the celebrities involved.
True. Perhaps they could set a couple of limitations for themselves if need be. But, you know, nothing too big. But like, if you're like, you know what, I just need at least like no requests for pictures of my feet, for example. I think that's not too much of a burden to the person who's sending the email.
There could maybe be one, sort of one codicil you could attach, which is
right,
the one that the McElroy brothers do for their live shows. Which
no
is
bummers.
No bummers.
That's correct. Which is a broad interpretation.
Right.
And also, like, therefore covers all of the things. I think November's is an excellent rule.
Excellent.
I would like to move on to another one of... I've been looking at a bunch of the various celebrity ones. I've just had a very
specific
celebrity fascination. So I also was looking at the VR experience, Celebrity Entourage, which was a product that you had listed here.
Yes.
In terms of putting on a VR headset and getting the experience of being a member of a celebrity's entourage.
Yes.
Which sounds amazing.
Yes.
And fascinating.
Yes.
For many reasons.
Yes. So imagine that you, imagine that you work for Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Right? And you are, like, just part of the retinue. You are basically given a bike helmet with, like, a 360 camera on top of it.
Right.
And you are just basically live streaming to... You know, to and then, like, people pay
right.
to, and then obviously they've got a VR headset, and then they get to just sort of, like, they just get to look through the 360 camera on top of your head.
This seems easily achievable.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
There's something about, like, the proximity to fame without the pressure of having to be famous that I really enjoy about this. And not only that, it's, like, twice removed, because you're not even in the entourage, you're observing through this proxy,
and
with no ability to interact.
Exactly, you don't. You're like, there's no speaker, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, so you don't get to say shit. There's no text chat.
Right.
You just get to see what it's like. I mean, if this is something we imagine Beyonce would be into, can you imagine how many people would pay to be to hook into that stream?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Many,
it would
many.
Be so many.
Like,
it would be so many.
So that's, I'm just saying.
And what's amazing is that it feels like an individualized experience, but doesn't have to be.
Exactly.
It could be right. Streamed, like, whole hog, like, to everyone. Yeah, so there's something that's really beautiful about that. About that experience. Partially the reason I was interested in this is because of, like, the feeling of proximity that one has to celebrities due to things like Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of the feeling of access or familiarity. Or podcasts, for example. Like,
yes.
Ongoing thing where you feel like you get to know someone because you're listening to them so intimately for such a long period of time. And so, like, is it healthy necessarily? Probably not. But also, I'm just kind of fascinated by it, so long as it remains benign, which it does not seem to be able to do for a very long period of time.
In this case, too, it's entirely opt-in on the celebrity's part, right?
Right.
We're sort of like, I want to do this. Like, if, you know, if I'm Taylor Swift and I feel like that's bullshit, then I just don't sign on.
Right.
And I don't let anybody in my entourage wear the bike helmet.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're not doing that today. Right? Like, it's up to, it could be also, like, right, like, it's sort of like a, maybe Taylor Swift is into it for, like, on Saturday afternoons, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, great, I'm going to go for a walk with my people. And it's like, cool. But all of the times, no.
Yeah.
Right? It's entirely up to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I feel like, I mean, if I was that celebrity, I would want to know when the bike helmet was filming because I would be on my good behavior.
Oh, there would be a red light on top of it, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the person who would have to wear the bike helmet, too.
Right?
Like, bless them. Like, it's... it become a whole look. It's like part of the next Yeezy campaign. It's just
there's just gonna keep being this little voice below the 360 camera going, God, this thing is hot.
Yeah.
There would also need to be some kind of steadying gimbal attached, right?
Oh yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because otherwise, everyone's gonna get seasick.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But it feels like a solvable problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I do like the performative aspect of it too. Like it's necessarily impossible for it not to be performative on the part of everyone else around.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once there's a camera on, so there's something that I like about, like, the come along with us sort of.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there.
The number of people enjoying a port on a bearskin rug is just immense. Disproportionately large.
God.
Yeah.
These are good ideas, people. Somebody please take them.
We have bike helmets and a dream. So the other one that I was going to move on to is not about celebrities at all, but is the Halloween candy oversupply / redistribution app, which you have under business.
Yes.
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 I,
oh. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, this is a thing that I ran into this year. We perhaps overbought for Halloween,
right.
And we had a bunch of candy left. And I was sort of like, some of this candy is not candy that I want, specifically banana-flavored Laffy Taffy.
Oof.
Mm. And it's, you know, there's got to be somebody out there who enjoys banana candy.
Yeah.
And I would be happy to offload this to you.
Oh.
You know, so basically, like, you post, it's, I don't know, like a... I actually don't know what website or app I could use as a model of this. Basically, like, if you pop up on a map somewhere, where it's sort of like, hey, I've got too much banana Laffy Taffy. And then, you know, like, somebody can be like, hey, I claim, you know, like, can I have it?
Yeah.
And maybe they pay a nominal fee. You know, it's sort of like, oh, $2? Sure, great, awesome. Like, you know, like, maybe it's a negotiation. Which sort of like, you know, like, I'll give you $3 for it. That's awesome. You know, and they just, you know, a competing auction kind of thing. But then eventually it's agreed upon, and then somebody will just, maybe they come and pick it up from you, or you can agree on a neutral drop off spot, which is like, I'm gonna leave this at the laundromat, like,
right, the candy drop.
Yeah, the candy drop.
Absolutely. I also like the thought of trading, being like, wow, I have so many Smarties, and I cannot do these Smarties, but what I really would like is some banana Laffy Taffy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which feels very good.
I would take those fucking Smarties.
Right.
Or, you know, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups or whatnot,
sure.
Right? I actually, so what I ended up doing was I ended up, like, I was invited to a party a month, like, months later. And I was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, so I grabbed the leftovers and I just took them with me. And sure enough, there was a guy there who really liked banana candy. And I was like, fuck yeah, here's all of the Laffy Taffy. Great, awesome. And when I came home, I only had candy that I was actually kind of interested in eating.
Yeah.
So,
see, this is like a larger scale version of the things that you would do with your siblings on Halloween.
Yes.
Because, you know,
the world.
Because I want the dark chocolate, and my brother wanted the milk chocolate, and, like, this is why we get along.
You have another sibling who likes white chocolate, and no one talks to them.
No, she's not around anymore.
Yeah. So sorry for that.
No, she went to live upstate with a nice family.
On a white chocolate farm.
Yes. So my parents said. Yeah, she's very happy there.
I just back to the banana candy. I can't tell if I dreamt this or if I read it. So who knows if it's true or not. But I heard that part of the reason that banana candy does not taste like banana is that it is based off of a banana that is not... Because there's so many types of bananas, but there's only one that is popularly shipped because there's only one type of banana.
Oh, that's true. Bananas are a monoculture.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So there's actually many different types of bananas, all with different flavors. But the one that we have isn't the same flavor as that banana. So that banana-flavored candy is based on a different banana that does not come to us.
Yeah, that's true of grape candy, too.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
It's like it tastes weird. It tastes like fake grape because
right.
it's based on Concord grapes, which no one grows anymore.
Right. Because they taste like medicine.
Yes. Yes. But grape jelly, you know, like the Smucker's grape jelly is made from Concord grapes.
Really?
So, yeah, that's why it tastes like grape candy.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
I
general weirdness.
I love
with
it.
Fruit.
I love all of this.
Who decided? Who sourced this originally? I have. Anyway, questions for a different day, I guess.
Yeah, this is like, it's like gets into like artificial flavoring history.
Right.
Like people were making this shit up in the 19-teens, and we're like, these are the grapes we have.
Right.
There's only one type of grape. Let's make a candy.
The Concord, America's great.
Yeah.
I believe we have time for at least one more.
Great. In that case, I'm going to move on to a facet of your ever popular women should be allowed to carry and use swords.
Mm-hmm.
But it's zoo animal hunts, wherein zoo animals should be able to kill one human per year.
Obviously this is only... a privilege extended only to carnivore predators.
Sure.
Which I feel is offsides. But, you know.
Please explain.
Well, why can't antelopes kill anybody? Like,
just through a stampede?
I mean, they get mad. They have issues they need to work through.
I suppose.
I mean, if it's like a food waste issue, I get that.
maybe one could do the trampling and one could do the eating, and then distribute it
evenly
across all of them.
It's true. Like, you know, the lions are actually like, you know what, we're good.
Right.
But that koala looks angry.
Yeah. That's cute as strangling.
Now that you mentioned it, I do think that my restriction is probably unnecessary.
Yeah. I mean, offsides is too harsh, but, you know.
No, I think you're right.
I would love to see it distributed more evenly, because, you know, there's, like, that really disgruntled anteater.
Like, just garroting a human with his long
tongue. There is one at the San Francisco Zoo who's clearly angry. And, like, I feel like, you know, she deserves to kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, elephants are herbivores,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I feel like elephants should be allowed to kill. Feet.
Well, and they do. They do.
But I feel like a zoo elephant, you know, like, you know, once a year should be allowed to just kill a person.
Yeah.
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 That seems fine.
That was your one.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, please don't go over your quota.
They get stomp happy.
Yeah. Yeah. And listen, here's the thing. We have discovered that there are so many white supremacists now.
Right.
That the supply of people to be stomped to death by zoo elephants alone is quite sufficient. Like, we have people that we don't need.
That's absolutely... I also like this tie-in. Like, there is some... I can't make quite the connection, but there is some tie-in to, like, the most dangerous game that I'm not able to name exactly at this point. But it exists.
I feel like there's a tie in here where states that have the death penalty should just integrate with their zoos.
Yes.
And just make everyone feel very slightly better about it.
Or perhaps worse.
Probably not better enough.
Indeed.
Or maybe actually worse in a way that's helpful.
Worse in a way that was helpful would be great.
Huh.
Right. Would be great.
Hmm. Hmm.
Huh.
Hmm.
Huh.
Oh. Yeah, everybody in the room is just suddenly, we're staring off into the middle distance.
Yeah.
In philosophical contemplation.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like a sort of lineup situation, wherein there's a couple of people, and the angry zoo animal, like, through its animal instinct, just knows who really deserves it. It's not a jury of one's peers, exactly, but it's close. You know?
It's a jury of one's peers as defined by fellow creatures of Earth.
Exactly. It's a broad peer group.
You just, like, train the zoo animals to be enraged by the scent of Drakkar Noir.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's clearly a douchebag.
I love
him. Guys, my stomach here. I do like having to, like, give the carnivores just make them watch for a second, and then they, like, that they get to participate, but only in a very ancillary aspect. So there is
you know, like, well, you know, good for you.
I'm on board.
Amazing. I believe that we have now reached that part of the show where one of us gives a terrible recommendation, or we showcase an idea from our guest. Amy, have you had any ideas of your own?
Yes.
That you would love to get out there?
Yes. I was talking with a friend about this today. I would like there to be kid docents at art museums.
Yes. I want to go to that.
Right? Where there are children who explain the art to you, and it's like, this looks like a sunrise. I was like, it was the specific example that was used by my friend Jessie, wherein, like, she... It just seemed like a really lovely way to interact with the arts.
I totally want to go to that. Right? I don't even like kids that much, but that sounds great.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just some late child labor.
Oh, God, that's so amazing.
Also, because you know that the kid who wants to do that is going to be, like, this weird kid who's going to tell you crazy things.
Who's really excited about their badge.
Yes.
Like, just constantly distracted by it. Has to be brought back.
Oh, my God, that sounds like so much fun.
Uh-huh. And at a certain point, we all sit on the floor, eat some animal crackers, get some juice, get reinvigorated.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, I wonder if I can bribe my niece into doing this for me.
Absolutely. Kids can be bribed into almost anything.
Because I kind of want that kid to explain art to me. That would be awesome.
I think there's a lot that could be gleaned from it.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. SF MoMA.
I love this idea.
Incredible. Incredible. And now it's time for us to tell everybody where you can be found on the internet. For me, this is easy. Thanks to my friend Jen, who is Jennifer Marie on Twitter. You can find links to my Twitter, Instagram, and highly entertaining newsletter all in one place at flavor.country. Go there now.
I am solely on Instagram as at Enthusiosity.
You can find me writing about video games at gentlegamers.com. Or you can write about the San Francisco Neo Futures, again, performing every Friday and Saturday night at Piano Fight in San Francisco at 9 p.m. at sfneofuturist.com.
If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to this show by searching Idea Factory Giveaway in your podcatcher of choice, and let John know if it doesn't pop up. If you're already there, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating and or a nice review. It would help us out a lot. And if you've already done that, why not tell a friend about us?
Why not tell several friends?
Why not tell half a friend?
Thanks for listening, and remember, if you've heard an idea you like, go ahead and do it. I just want credit.
I want a cut.